You're listening to SBS News.
A network of about 50 experts across health, engineering and law say the country's 80% COVID-19 vaccination target for its adult population risks leaving many Australians behind. The Alliance of Experts operates under the name AusSAGE, which stands for the Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, based on a UK group operating under the same name. Professor Nancy Baxter is the head of the Melbourne School of Population and Global Health. She says those from lower socioeconomic backgrounds who face more barriers accessing healthcare need to be prioritised in the vaccine rollout.
If you don't have 80% of the disabled or 80% of the Indigenous community, those people who are actually at most risk of COVID are going to be the least protected. So as part of the opening up, these people really need to be kept in mind, and it's very important that they're not left behind.
Nationally, 38% of Australian adults are fully vaccinated, and 62% have received one dose. The overall 80% target for adults aged 16 plus is equivalent to 64% of the entire population. Dr. Simone Ray is a Bardi Jabba Jabba woman and Vice President of the Australian Indigenous Doctors Association. The association has called for a rapid upscaling of specialist health teams to assist those in regional Indigenous communities. Dr. Ray says parts of Darwin, where she works as a GP, need the extra support.
If we got COVID in the Northern Territory, it would be absolutely devastating. You know, when you look at our hospital health services here and the fact that a lot of our communities are so remote, trying to be able to get healthcare to them or get them to adequate healthcare is such a hard problem. And then you look at, you know, the things of overcrowding, social inequity, and, you know, just that general lack of resources in the communities.
At least 37% of First Nations people around the country have had one dose of a COVID vaccine, and 20.5% have had both. The recent death of an Aboriginal man in his 50s in Dubbo, New South Wales, has Indigenous communities looking to boost vaccination rates. Dr. Ray says she wants to see vaccination rates among Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders reach between 90 and 95%. She says community elders in places like Munangreda in the Northern Territory and Juringin in Western Australia have successfully reached 65% and 80% vaccination rates.
I think if we do the right sort of consultation and communication with the right elders and the right people within the communities, we can make some headways in this regard.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison says under-vaccination in parts of the country needs to be addressed, but says the commitment to reopening at 80% must remain.
We need to get those vaccination levels in our Indigenous communities as high as possible, as high as possible. But at the same time, that does not disable us from the whole community being able to move forward under the national plan. And the national plan appreciates that. There needs to be an ongoing plan for dealing with disadvantaged communities post 70 and 80% vaccination, because they tend to be the less vaccinated.
Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt says extra health teams and resources have been deployed to regional parts of New South Wales and Victoria, improving the national rate of vaccinations among Indigenous Australians. AusSAGE member Dr. Kalinda Griffiths is a Yawu woman and epidemiologist at the University of New South Wales. She says education campaigns are needed to address vaccine hesitancy among Indigenous people.
I think that there has been mixed messaging with regards to vaccines, and I think that there hasn't been enough work done with communities to discuss, I guess, the pros of vaccines. Lots of communities have heard some of the, I guess, mis-messaging and also some of the false information going around as well. And because of that, you know, there is hesitancy within communities.
Mr. Morrison says Australian medical assistance teams have been going door to door in places like Wilcannia in western New South Wales and offering the vaccine.
It needs to be done direct with Indigenous leaders and elders, and that's what Minister White in particular has been pursuing. But it's difficult. It's challenging. COVID's not easy. It doesn't have simple solutions. Not everything happens the way you'd like it to. And in the Indigenous communities, it's really tough. And we've got a lot more work to do, but we're very committed to achieving it.
Dr. Griffiths says new reopening modelling needs to consider different age structures and community structures of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australians. She welcomes recent government data on vaccination rates of Indigenous Australians, but says more detailed, high-quality data is needed.
We recently were able to get a hold of, state-by-state data a couple of weeks ago, but now we need to know about the quality of that data. So I think the next step is to ensure that we have not just numerator data, so the amount of vaccines given, but also the denominator data, so what population estimates are being used to figure out these rates and proportions.
Chief Medical Officer Professor Paul Kelly says state and territory leaders will be looking at the capacity of hospital systems to withstand more COVID-19 cases, as well as other elements such as contact tracing, quarantining, and how those systems may evolve as communities learn to live with COVID. AusSage experts agree that vaccination coverage alone cannot lead to safe easing of COVID restrictions. Professor Baxter says other interventions, such as ventilation, are required.
All of us need to start thinking about how to improve air circulation and ventilation in our buildings in terms of, you know, what we can get to people that's going to help them improve their ventilation, so decrease the amount of COVID that's in their air. There's monitoring of the air, so using things like CO2 monitors to actually be able to see how good the air circulation is, how good the ventilation is. They're air purifying machines. If you get the right ones, they can actually make a big difference. So there are things we can do, even if our buildings are, you know, we can't change our buildings.
For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Julia Carcatzel, SBS News.